Remembering. We're going to talk about remembering today. Remember, to reassemble memories or thoughts that we've had from the past and try to reassemble a story and somehow get accurate with that story. So remembering is something that very important that we do in the church and in the Christian faith. And sometimes we do that well, and sometimes we don't do it so well in our lives. Especially sometimes when we get a little older, we start forgetting things sometimes. There was a gentleman who was visiting his neighbors, and they were getting up in years. First time he'd ever gone over, they had invited him over to the house. And the old gentleman in the house there who was hosting, it kept endearingly speaking of his wife. When he would speak to his wife, he would say, honey and darling and sweetheart. And pumpkin, and you know they've been married for many decades. And this man was impressed that his neighbor would say such things to his wife after over like 70 years of marriage. And so while the wife was off in the kitchen, he pulled the gentleman aside and he said, "You know, I think it's really wonderful that after all these years you've been married that you still refer to your wife in those terms." And the elderly husband just hung his head and he said, "Actually, I forgot her name about 10 years ago." Today on this Easter, we remember the first Easter. We try to piece it together and see what it means. What it means for us that Christ has arose, that he's risen from the grave. And, you know, remembering is an interesting psychological act that we do. We remember, we reassemble memories and details from the past, and we try to create a story. We sometimes get accurate with that, and sometimes we don't, and sometimes we embellish it a little bit purposefully. For example, if I were to tell you when I was in high school playing varsity basketball, if I told you I could dunk, I would be telling the truth. But I was only able to dunk like twice and barely got it there, and it was in practice when there wasn't even anybody watching. So we can play with the details, right? We can reassemble, we can remember as we wish sometimes. But before you get on your high horse and think you've never done this, I know we have some fishermen in here, and they're the best, right? The story gets a little more interesting each time. Sometimes we remember a little differently than how it happened. Older folks do this as well. Sometimes, you know, it didn't have any water and didn't have any electricity in their home when they were growing up, and they walked to school uphill both ways, and it was snowing even in the summer. And they'll say, "But boy, those were the good old days." So we remember, we play sometimes with the memories of our past. The truth is, most of our remembering is casual. We remember details and we kind of put together a story and then we live with that story. Sometimes it's sentimental. We'll remember in a sentimental way something that happened in the past. Maybe your first prom or your first date or your first Paul McCartney concert. Yeah, October of 1989. Rosemont Horizon in Chicago. Wow. That was awesome. Now, I could stop there, but I could fail to tell you that it was the coldest October I had ever been. And we had to stand in line for like 30 minutes. And so we could play with the details, right? And we kind of remember casually or sentimentally. Or sometimes we remember by obligation. Like some of you are probably here today to remember the risen Savior out of obligation. You know, maybe your mom guilted you into to showing up for church today. It's Easter. You need to be here. So we remember in different ways. Luke uses two different words for remembering in his gospel, and they both come into play this morning. The first word for memory that he uses, and this comes from the Greek, is mnemesko. It's the kind of remembering that we do most often. It's sort of just a casual recollecting of facts and putting details together and trying to remember something that happened. We remember the details, we reassemble them, and then we remember an event. We remember something that happened. When those women were standing outside of the tomb and it was empty, and then the angel appeared to them and told them what had happened, And it says that they remembered. I remember Jesus said that he was going to suffer and be crucified and that he would rise again. And so they were remembering. And that's mnemonisko. They were kind of putting together the details and kind of making sense of it. And they put it together and they did something with that knowledge. And that's important what they did with the knowledge. Because they could have said, and we've done this before when strange things have happened to us, or maybe something that seemed to maybe a little spiritual. Well, you know, something will happen to us and we'll say, and we'll put the facts together and we'll remember it, and then we'll say, man, that was weird. That was kind of strange. And then we let it go and we just remember it as an event that happened. And we do that with facts in our life. That kind of remembering gets us to remember about the story of the resurrection. But if we leave it there, if we stop there with that kind of remembering, we will sell ourselves short. We'll come up short of what this story can do for us. Because if we only remember it casually or sentimentally as a fact that happened 2,000 years ago, then it remains a nice story that we can feel good about, and it's nice once a year to hear the story told or sung about, and then we put it in our pocket and we save it for another year as a sweet memory. But there's another way of remembering that Luke talks about in the Scriptures. And we have to go back two chapters and about 4 days in the story to find this type of remembering. And it's at the Lord's Supper. You remember when Jesus is meeting with his disciples right before he's to be betrayed by Judas. And he takes the bread and he breaks it. And they eat it. And then he takes the cup and he pours it and they drink it. You remember what he says next? He says, "And as often as you do this, do this in remembrance of me." There's a different word that Luke uses there for remembrance. It's anamnesis. It's not mnemonisko, it's anamnesis. Now, amnesia means to forget, right? Anamnesis means to remember again. And not just to remember it as a fact from the past, but when you remember it, you invoke that memory into the present. So that you live it in the present and it becomes as real today as it did when the event first happened. And so when Jesus says, every time you partake of communion, every time you take me in, you take my body and my blood in, you take my spirit in, every time you do it in anamnesis, in remembrance of me. Do it so that it's a living fact in your life, even now. Every time you remember it, you're living it. That's a whole lot different than having a sentimental thought, a fond recollection of the past. And so Jesus says, when you think about me, and when you take me in, you take me in to change you, and to transform you, and to change your life, and to change the lives of those around you, because it's a living Christ. He's a living Christ who lives in you. He's not a fond memory. It's not a nice, cute story from 2,000 years ago. It's a living reality. Jesus says, anamnesis. Remember it into the present. And if we don't do that and we walk away with just a fond recollection of the story today, we sell ourselves short. We don't give ourselves the opportunity of what Jesus wants to do in our lives. And that is to radically transform us. That is to radically change us into the man or the woman that we never imagined that we could be. But with Jesus living in us, in the present, the resurrected Christ dwelling in us today, he can change us. And he can change you. He can change your life in ways that you never thought possible. That's the kind of remembering Jesus wants us to do gathered here today. This isn't about a sweet memory. This isn't about a fond recollection. This is about remembering Christ into the present. Because you know what? The resurrection event, it happened 2,000 years ago, but it happened 100 years ago. And it happened last year. It happened 2 months ago. It happened this morning. And it's happening right now. But you have to anamnesis. You have to remember it into the presence and then let it transform your life. Otherwise, it's just a nice, cute recollection, a cute story that we tell on Easter Sunday. And Luke calls that anamnesis. Now, there's no four-step program on how to remember this way. You say, well, how do I do this? How do I remember in this manner? Well, this is why in certain Christian ceremonies that we have, sometimes we'll say, remember your baptism. Now, a lot of you were baptized as infants. I don't remember much of anything until I was at least 2 years old. How can I remember my baptism? We're saying anamnesis. You were baptized, but remember it into the present so that you're living your baptism today. And when Moses was talking to the Israelites before they were getting ready to go into the promised land, he told them something to do that was very important, and he told them to remember. He said, don't forget what God has done for you in leading you out of enslavement in Egypt and leading you through the wilderness into the promised land. Do not forget that, he says, wrap it around your heads, put it on your arm wrist, put it on your lamp, the doorpost, whatever it takes. Do not forget in each moment of your life what God has done for you. That's not a fond recollection. That's not a cute memory of the past. That is invoking Christ to live in your life today. That's what Easter's about. It's about Christ living present in your life today. And if we don't do that, we sell ourselves short and we'll miss out on what the Lord has for us. I'll give an example of how anamnesis can take place in your life. Yesterday morning, I was at the Super Saturday for the children, and they were kind of running around, and then it was almost time for the Easter egg hunt, which is the highlight of the day. But there was one thing standing between the kids and the Easter egg hunt, and that was a Bible story by the preacher. So they got their baskets already, and Karen says, come over here, children, the pastor is going to tell you a story. And I could almost see like, oh, really? We got Easter eggs to collect. But I sat down with them, and they were there, and began to tell them the story of Easter. And going through the different events of the week leading up to his crucifixion and the beating that he took and the scourges and the mocking and the dying on the cross and then the miracle of the empty tomb, and there were some of the children that were kind of starting to lean in a little bit. And after the story was over, I thought, well, there they go, off to get the eggs. But one of the little girls said, how did you know about all of that? You can see the story alive in her face. And that same story we can tell with our life every day. You don't have to tell the story word for word, but you can tell it with your life if you practice anamnesis, that the living Christ, the story of the resurrection, is dwelling in me, and it manifests in me through how I relate in my life and how I deal with others and how I interact and how I act when no one else is watching. All of those things that make us who we are is anamnesis, remembering, recreating the life of Christ dwelling within us. So my challenge this morning for you is to not leave here today stuck in mnemonico, in a casual remembering, in a cute sentimental remembering of the story, but instead to invoke it into the present. To take Christ in, to take his body and his blood and the Spirit of God within you. And when you do it in remembrance of Christ. When you do it, when you do life, when you speak to your spouse, when you get up in the morning and you go to work, when you go to class, when whatever you're doing, when you're taking care of the children, the grandchildren, or doing something at church, whenever you do that, do it with anamnesis. Do it by invoking the power of the resurrection in your life, and it will change you. And it will change your spouse, it will change your friends, it will change your parents, it will change your children, change your neighbors, change your world. But it's anamnesis. Paul said, I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. That's anamnesis. That's saying, I'm no longer in control, but it's Christ who lives in me. And we sing, for an empty grave is there to prove my Savior lives, and life is worth the living because he lives. Life is not worth the living if the Easter resurrection is just a fond recollection. If it's just a cute story that we think about once a year. But life is worth the living if Christ is living in you. If the power and the grace and the mercy and the love of Jesus Christ dwells in you and animates you and empowers you in life, and that is offered to you today in Jesus Christ. Let's pray together. Father, as we remember you today, as we reassemble the details of this story, may it be more than a fond memory. May it be more than a sentimental story. But may we invoke the very life and power and presence of Jesus Christ to dwell in us on this day. This day of the risen Lord. This day of the resurrected Son. This day of Christ is risen. Christ is risen indeed. And we pray these things in Christ's holy name. Amen.